Good morning, world. Good morning. It's a new dawn. It's a new day. I'm feeling pretty good. Welcome to the morning show, everybody, here on WFHR. Locally grown radio. James, Melissa, and Beth here with you. We're joined right now by our good friend Paul Trombe from the Weather Eye Weather Center. Good morning, Paul.
Thank you for that. I feel so fulfilled.
Did I do it right? I'm not as good as Nina Simone, obviously. I can't hit the mark like the great Nina Simone would or something. But Paul, it is great to have you. How was your weekend, Paul?
It was pretty good. Yeah, how about you guys?
Good over here. Productive and kind of tame, really. Although we've forgotten what the sun looks like. We have no idea what the sun looks like around here. Oh, what has Mother Nature got in store for us, Paul?
Yeah, definitely that gray canopy has been a mainstay here for us, and still cloudy out there today. Maybe a few breaks in some of that cloud cover later today in the afternoon, but otherwise still pretty cloudy week ahead here for us. Today's highs in the upper 20s as southwest to west wind stays at 10 to 15. Clouds tonight, some flurries here and there, down to 21. And then more clouds Tuesday, highs near 30, west winds 10 to 15, 20 on Tuesday night. Wednesday, maybe a few late-day snow showers, high of 29, 19 snow shower chances Wednesday night, upper 20s Thursday and Friday. All in all, pretty quiet week ahead here for us as these chances on and off snow showers are around. But otherwise, it looks like colder weather headed in for the weekend, 7 above Friday night, and maybe some scattered snow showers into Saturday, mid-teens for highs. Some single-digit lows as we get into the weekend, so feeling more of a January-type cold spell as we get more into the weekend and next week as we look ahead a little bit further.
Mm-hmm. Appreciate the update, as always, Paul. Thank you so much. You have a great one. We'll talk again tomorrow.
Sounds good. You guys, too.
Me, too. Thank you so much for joining us, everybody. The best in the business right there, our friends at the Weather Eye Weather Center. Last week, Paul had mentioned to me, every time I say it's a new, good morning, it's a new day, you know, and all that, he's like waiting for me to go into the Nina Simone song, it's a new dawn, it's a new day, and I'm feeling good. I couldn't help it. I've been waiting all weekend to do that. I'm not going to lie, I haven't.
That's great.
So we got some fun ones coming up. Of course, Misty's Menu Birthday and Anniversary Club is on the way. Get into some other topics this hour. And we'll kick off the 9 o'clock hour with the kitchens open. Melissa and Beth's cooking show. We're looking forward to diving into that. Right now, the lamest U.S. landmarks to visit.
The lamest?
It feels almost mean.
It does feel almost mean.
It does.
Well, let's see.
I'm guessing a lot of world's largest.
There's a new survey out on America's landmarks, and one question they asked was, what was your least favorite U.S. landmark? And there were more than 30 choices. The one that got the most hate was the Hollywood sign, which isn't very shocking. The locals have restricted access to the Hollywood Hills, so it's hard to see it up close legally. And I will say this too, even if you do manage to get to them and touch them, especially the H, which you've wanted to do since you were a little kid, maybe kind of doesn't, like, once you do it, it's kind of like,
wooden sign.
Yeah, it's okay. That's all right. The view is really, really cool. The view is really awesome, but I don't want to say it was a letdown or anything, but I think I built it up way too much in my head as a little kid.
Like, and something magical was going to happen when you touched it.
By the time I'm like an early 20-year-old and everything, I'm touching it, it's just not the same. But it was really cool to see, and it was a great view. Let's look at this. 8% of people who had seen the Hollywood sign said it was their least favorite landmark. Other unpopular ones, the Brooklyn Bridge, Times Square, and the Hollywood Walk of Fame. On the flip side, when people were asked about their favorite landmarks, Arlington National Cemetery was number one. 7% of people said it was the best. Other popular ones were Mount Rushmore, the National Mall in D.C., the Pearl Harbor National Memorial, and the Statue of Liberty. I think there's a couple of interesting angles on this one. One, of course, asking each other what our least favorite landmarks are. I want to know how many we've seen.
Yeah.
Okay. You know, I think is just as interesting and maybe more poignant. I don't know how many. It used to be summer comes around and your family plans a trip to go see Mount Rushmore or something like that. My family never did anything like this, but I know a lot of quote unquote normal families did. And that was kind of like, but now, we, at least again, doing the home research and YouGov.com is where you can find a lot of this. We're not doing these things as much anymore. We tend to do our own solo projects, or if we do something as a family, it's something within state.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It tends to be something a little more local. There's a lot of factors on this. One of the major ones is not actually money, but time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We just don't have the time to travel cross country anymore and come back. Obviously, you know, finances and these things all play into the factor, but the number one reason for people were, I don't have the time to do this. I can't pick up my family and just drive to, you know, halfway across the country or something like that. We waste, we don't waste, but we use up all of our vacation time just traveling and this and that. Mm-hmm. So I think that there's a couple of things there. One, they don't address this in the article, but are we, and this is rhetorical, I'm not saying that, are we giving people enough time off? I asked that rhetorically just because I don't want to act like I know the answers or anything. I do think we know the answer to that question.
Yeah, it's a very simple no.
Yeah.
We don't.
But it does feel like that's a major part of this too, because the time factor is so important to people, and it came up, and even when it wasn't brought up, they brought it up, the right. time to do these things.
Yeah. How are you supposed to go see all these landmarks? Like, I've never been to California.
So here's, and I just thought I'd pull this one up. It's not really part of the article, but from September of 2022, they asked, visiting U.S. landmarks, have you visited the following U.S. landmarks at some point in your life? And I'm not going to go through all of these, but like they've got them in alphabetical order. Okay. But I think also these are some things we may not have thought of as landmarks.
See, and that's the thing. What are they defining as a landmark?
Mm-hmm.
Since it is in alphabetical order, Alcatraz is first on the list.
Okay.
I've thought Alcatraz would be cool to see, but I would never have thought of Alcatraz as a U.S. landmark.
Right.
It's an old prison. It's an old, I mean, I wouldn't think of it that way, but that is, it's technically a U.S. landmark.
Hmm.
Now, here's another thing. The Arlington National Cemetery or the Pearl Harbor National Memorial, those are obviously national landmarks, but for me, that's a big different category.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Like, I go to see those out of honor, out of loyalty, out of wanting to and stuff.
Right.
A lot of these other, the Hollywood sign, I didn't go there out of loyalty. I went there being a silly kid that loved that universe and everything in that world. They're very different things to me. And especially if you're asking people on a survey, you know, where did you like going or something, you're going to have a good majority of people that are pulled to say those things whether they believe it or not. And I think that's interesting. So there's a lot of layers to this. I got the Space Needle on here, the Bean in Chicago. My God, the Bean in Chicago. So many other things to see. Now, I'm not taking anything away from the Bean. It's cool. People like the Bean. That's fine. There's a billion other things to see in Chicago, much more interesting than seeing your face in a mirror. There's a... All right, I digress. Now, visiting these places yourself, would you recommend them to other people?
Okay.
That's another part of this survey that I thought was interesting. So I have not visited a ton of landmarks myself. I know that off the top of my head, I know that seeing the Grand Canyon is a big one to me. Mm-hmm. I want to see it in person. I've flown over it and seen it, which is wild that you can see the Grand Canyon from, you know, there.
Yeah.
But I want to see it in person. I've always, and many people have told me, you got to see it in person. It's just nothing until you've seen it in person, that kind of thing. As far as landmarks, I have not been to Arlington National Cemetery, and that is one thing I want to go to. But I want to do that as like a pilgrimage. To me, those trips are more of a pilgrimage of honoring my grandfather, you know, and things like that. I don't know. How about you guys? Have you been to many landmarks? Have you?
I've been to the Hoover Dam.
That was pretty cool to see.
Okay.
Yeah, I want to see that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
For a while, my parents lived on Staten Island in New York, and so I've been on the Staten Island Ferry, and of course, so I've then seen the Statue of Liberty. I've not been to the Statue of Liberty, but the ferry goes right in front of it, so you pass by the Statue of Liberty. I've been to Times Square, when we were in Hawaii, we went to the national park with the volcano, which is now active. So several of those. But one of the things that we're planning to do, hopefully next year in 2024, there's a national program that not a lot of people are aware of that fourth graders can register for. And from September 1st of their fourth grade year through the following August 31st, they and their family can get into any national park for free.
Cool.
So wow. It makes it a lot more affordable for people. So I've never been to Mount Rushmore. I've always wanted to see that. So that's one of the places that we're hoping to go next year is to be able to see these places. Never been to the Grand Canyon. Would love to see that. The Redwood Forest would be a phenomenal place to go see. Haven't seen that yet. Yeah. But, you know, what do you consider a landmark? Some people would say, you know, the castles at the Disney parks. I've seen those.
Or a lot of cities are on the list of landmarks. Yeah. But like Yellowstone National Park, you don't, is it a landmark? It's a park.
Right.
There's like a whole lot there. But that was really cool to see.
The French Quarter. Like, I wouldn't think of that.
In New Orleans.
I wouldn't think of that. I've always wanted to go there and see it and everything, but I wouldn't think of that as a land. Like, it's a place.
I guess, though, if we think about it in terms of, well, if you had a chance to go to the United Kingdom, what would you go see?
Right.
You know, you're going to want to go see London. You're going to want
to
see,
Big Ben.
The Four Corners Monument in New Mexico, Arizona, Colorado, and Utah is also one of those ones that's really pulled my interest for a long time. But I wouldn't have thought of that as a monument.
Right.
I just thought of it as something kind of cool that we have. It is,
Any place that has a historical marker be considered a landmark? Like, I was quite able possibly to go to the church that Martin Luther King preached at. In Montgomery, and that was phenomenal, and that's a beautiful. If that could be considered a landmark,
I think that's a great question. I'm looking. I'm not seeing that kind of thing, but I think that, like, well, I do see like Ellis Island on here, of course, the Hoover Dam, Liberty Bell, some of those things.
The Alamo,
seen that?
Yeah, the Alamo. That's another.
Well, and the White House and all of the monuments that are in Washington D.C.
The Golden Gate Bridge is on here, and I will say that was a little more. That one, like, going, it was looking at it was like, okay, it's kind of cool and everything. When we drove over it, there was something about driving over that bridge that did feel like you see it in movies your whole life and all these things. It did feel
a little
kind of
surreal.
Right. Yeah, it did. Much more than touching the Hollywood sign or anything.
What about Niagara Falls?
Yeah, that would be cool.
I did see that when I was like 13.
The other thing that I thought of right away with this, and it's not on here, and it wouldn't be considered a national landmark or anything, but the cutoff that I forget what it's called necessarily, where when the world used to be Pangaea and it all breaks up and everything, you can go over in California, you go over on the coast there, and you walk or not, you're not supposed to walk. I got in trouble. That's right. You can look at where this broke, like the break off. See that, and just like even just thinking about it now gives me goosebumps. It's just incredible to see. There's things like that pull my interest a little more. So I don't tend to, like, if I go to a state that I haven't been in before, I don't tend to worry about seeing landmarks as much as things that only that state has. I look at it the little, like, when I'm eating in another state or in another city, like, I know they got all these places at my town. I want to eat something that they don't have in my town. I want to eat something that they don't have where I'm from.
So that equates to James wants to get a bacon double cheeseburger at a mom and pop place in that state.
Exactly. Right. Yes.
You read James. Oh God, that hit way too deep, way too close. It was so true, so accurate. I do think that promoting our landmarks is something we can all take a piece in, and we could all do a little bit more.
Well, because tourist dollars mean a lot to states. Yeah. So, you know, the touristy places are going to be around landmarks.
Well, and chances are there are landmarks that are out there that aren't as well known. And those are the ones, like in Ohio, I remember one because I lived there for quite a while growing up. They have a national, it's not national, but a snake mounds is what they're called. And they were burial sites. And it's in the shape of a snake. But unless you've lived there and learned the history of that state, you wouldn't know to go look for that.
Right. Well, and around here, the Dells is a landmark in Wisconsin. The burial grounds and all of the different areas around Lake Emily, just right near here, where they just put up a statue of the sustainers to try to raise awareness of all of the Native American sites around that area.
Down in between, just outside of Milwaukee, Madison, Astolin State Park is a recreation of what a native village was back then.
And there are quite a few Wisconsin landmarks.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Our Ice Age Trail.
Yeah.
For instance.
The Milwaukee Art Museum, they're saying here. The Harley-Davidson Museum. The Botanical Gardens.
Mm-hmm.
A Tripoli Shrine Temple. Cave of the Mounds.
That's a big one.
Devil's Lake.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
There's quite a few. 21 Wisconsin landmarks is what they have here listed. Maybe there's more than 21? Not sure. It feels like there's got to be more than 21, right? Maybe, it's just a list of the top.
So would the Apostle Islands be considered 1 or 12?
That's a good question. I like that. Good question. We'll take a break right here. We'll come back, have some more fun on the morning show. We'll come back with Misty's Mini Birthday and Anniversary Club when we get back here on the morning show at WFHR.
Hi, this is Garth Brooks. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Not all of you are singing.
Happy birthday to you.
Hey, Mr. Brooks, everybody. Thank you very much, Garth. Thank you, Garth. Very nice. You don't have to go. Oh, he's leaving already. All right. But he's a busy guy.
He would tell us we have to sing before I start drinking water.
It is time. You heard Mr. Brooks. It's time for Misty's Menu Birthday and Anniversary Club. We encourage you to treat yourself. Get on over to Misty's. They're open right now till 2, open 6 to 2, 7 days a week at 9041. State Highway 13 South in Wisconsin Rapids. When you get there, thank the gang for us. Wish them a great day from all of us at WFHR. You heard us earlier. It's National Pie Day, people.
Yes, it is.
It is a great day. It's always a great day, but it's a really good day to get on over to Misty's Menu. Let them know that it's your birthday, or let them know that it's National Pie Day, and just have some fun. Now, if it is your birthday, you get a free slice of one of Brian's pies.
That's true.
But we encourage you to head on over to Misty's and get some pie anyway, whether it's your birthday or not.
Because pie is great.
Pie is wonderful.
Just don't tell Seth I said that.
Time for us to dive into our local birthdays here. And I need a one or a two. Beth, give me the one or a two here.
One.
All right, there we go. Gives us our qualifier. So we can get right into it. Want to wish a very happy birthday right away to Corey Gavinsky.
Happy birthday, Corey.
Corey's awesome. Corey met Corey at Wisconsin Rapids Community Theater years ago. Used to work there for a long time. Has put a lot into this community. Really good soul. Awesome. Good person, Corey.
Enjoy your day.
Mm-hmm. And our qualifier today, Janet Meadow.
Happy birthday, Janet.
That's a beautiful name, isn't it? Wow, you guys are in sync this morning. That was really good.
Spot on.
I wasn't looking at you guys when you said it. It was just in perfect harmony in my ears. Janet, we wish you a fantastic birthday. Enjoy your day, and you are our qualifier.
Hey.
Let us dive right into our celebrities. Let's see here. Josh Thompson is 45, country singer who had the big hit Way Out There. He's also got a cold beer with your name on it. That's another song of his.
Okay.
That is one of the most country-titled songs I've ever heard in my life. That is the great, the lovely, the wonderful, the incredibly talented Mariska Hegarty is 59 today. We all know her as Lieutenant Olivia Benson on Law & Order SVU.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty much her biggest role. Her mom, the other kind of thing she is known for is being the daughter of Jane Mansfield.
Yeah.
The great Jane Mansfield, I should say. Mariska and her brothers were in the backseat of the car during the accident that took her mother's life in 67.
Whoa.
None of them suffered serious injuries. Mariska was 3 years old at the time, but talks very in-depth about this in few points in her career. But when she has, I've always thought how brave and how cool of it is her to share that stuff, because I don't think anybody would expect her to, or I find it very powerful that she does, and where she's gone with her life, and also what she has chosen to do with her acting career, where she's talented enough, she could be working in a lot of other things. She mainly focuses on Olivia because of how important her family is, so she can kind of have both worlds.
Yep.
But also how very important it is, the Law & Order SVU in our society.
Mm-hmm.
It seems silly. There's a billion Law & Orders in history. There's been, it's one of those shows. And actually, the real Law & Order, as diehard of a fan as I am of it, the older I get, the more I see issues with that show.
Mm-hmm.
But Law & Order SVU is a game changer when it comes to TV and making people more comfortable with talking about sexual harassment, from everything from sexual harassment to rape. And our society getting more and more comfortable with talking about these things. I'm sorry if they make you uncomfortable. Actually, I'm not.
No.
I'm not sorry.
And you should. Guess, they're awful things.
Absolutely.
They're bad things. And like, oh, I don't want to hear about this. Oh, I don't want to talk about it. How much do you think the people going through those things want to talk or hear about them?
Exactly.
You think anybody wants this to happen to them? No. Mm-hmm. It's important that we talk about these things and that we have a places in society where it is safe to talk about them. Then to have a TV show that hits them so bluntly and 90, I shouldn't say that. A high percentage of the time does a great job with said subject. And she is the head of this. Like, she is the top of this, the oldest cast member on there, and one of the longest cast members in Law & Order history.
Wow.
Just a great performer, great actor, too.
Absolutely.
Just very, very solid. Her and Christopher Maloney, some of my favorite chemistry in TV history, those two working together. Princess Caroline of Monaco is 66.
Okay.
Grace Kelly and Prince Rainier's daughter. Let's see. I gotta get that one. Robin Zander is 70 years old today. Rock and Roll Hall of Famer from Cheap Trick. The Flame, Don't Be Cruel, I Want You to Want Me. Of course, Cheap Trick got many, many hits.
Yeah.
This is a local for us too, everybody. Robin, a Midwest kid.
Born in Beloit.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Darn right.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see here. Oh, yeah. Gotta get it. Chelsea Sullenberger, 72 today. Hero. Actual hero. He saved 154 lives with an empty emergency landing on the Hudson River back in 2009 when his plane hit a flock of geese. Tom Hanks, of course, famously played him in the 2016 Sully.
Yep.
Richard Dean Anderson, 73 today.
MacGyver.
MacGyver, Stargate he was in.
Yes.
That made me feel a little old, though. 73. Jeez.
Aww. He was my childhood crush.
He's awesome.
He was.
Yeah, well, he's amazing.
That's great.
Yes.
That's great. I'm not laughing at that there was a crush. I just got done saying it made me feel older than that. And I look at Beth's face, and she's feeling the same thing I just said. Yeah, I just felt for you. My empathy just went all towards you on that one.
And fun fact, the character's first name was Angus. And you didn't find that out until the final episode. But
oh, really?
Phenomenal. I mean, how many of us talk about MacGyvering something?
Yes. Oh, yeah. It's a word now. It's a noun.
It is.
Or a verb. It's a verb.
It's a verb.
It is such a verb.
They've reinvented, and I haven't seen any of the new ones. And part of me doesn't want to.
Well, no.
I don't want to.
Because there's no other Richard Dean Anderson.
No, exactly.
He is MacGyver.
Yes.
I completely, 100% agree with you guys. I will say it was one of the few times where I saw a remake of a show was like, well, I don't blame them for trying. I did not think it was going to be successful.
Right.
But it was such a cool concept of a show. And both of you are so right. Not only is it a verb, not only does, oh, you really MacGyver that, or yep. Oh, way to go MacGyver or something when somebody doesn't pull it off. Mm-hmm. But, it even created an SNL bit that Will Arnett would do that was a playoff of that. They even had Richard Dean Anderson in one of the skits.
Oh, that's awesome.
Which turned into a movie even. So, I mean,
awesome.
It's yeah. Like even the spinoff turned into something, or spinoff, the parody turned into something. It's such a poignant, important, I shouldn't say important, but big show.
Yeah.
I don't blame them for trying to remake that one. I kind of thought that one was coming. I didn't expect it to do well or not, but I think a lot of producers and a lot of people seem to miss in these things is you need casting people in these decisions more because the concept was cool. But it was Richard Dean Anderson who really made that show hit.
Right.
And you need somebody like that. You need somebody who has that natural charisma that can pull people in to a concept that they may not even like or naturally go into.
Right. Mm-hmm. And that show became a launch pad for Terry Hatcher.
Yes.
She ended up on that. And I think it was supposed to be like a one episode character. And she did such a good job and had such a great chemistry with him that it kept her character kept reoccurring.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
That's cool. And that happens a lot. And that's not surprising with somebody like her.
Mm-hmm.
He's awesome.
I just loved him on Stargate. Jack O'Neill.
I couldn't do it. After loving him as MacGyver, I couldn't make that leap.
Okay. Well,
interesting.
Maybe you will someday.
Mm. Maybe. I haven't seen Stargate yet, so maybe I need to go back and watch that.
And then some people no longer with us, like Anita Pointer, would have been 75 today, born in 1948, passed away in 2022, just last year, the Pointer Sisters. So Excited, Jump, Automatic, He's So Shy, Neuron Dance. Neutron Dance, that's the one. That's what I was trying to think of, yeah. And the great, the underrated Rutger Hauer, born on this day in 1944, passed away in 2019. The Hitcher, Blind Fury, Hobo with a Shotgun. He was also the CEO of Wayne Enterprises during Batman Begins. Oh. But of course, the legendary role of Blade Runner is what he is most famously known for.
Mm,
okay. And rightfully so. Got a number of good roles, Rutger Hauer, throughout his career that mm-hmm. they don't mention here. But I always thought he was such a, like one of those actors, to me, the part of the reason I say underrated is, if I saw Rutger Hauer's name in a movie that I didn't know he was in, I immediately knew that I was going to enjoy his performance. I mm-hmm. immediately knew that I was going to at least enjoy that I could take that from it.
Mm-hmm.
Especially back in the day when we didn't have a million trailers and we didn't hear about these movies. We learn almost the nuts and bolts and so much about a movie before we even see the trailer nowadays, let alone you've got 3 months of the trailer mm-hmm. or a year of a trailer mm-hmm. sometimes before you see the movie. Back in the day, with a movie like Blade Runner, which was just a favorite for a lot of us, a lot of kids like myself, you just didn't know that many things about these things. And so, like, Lady Hawk comes out, and I want to see this. Oh, Rutger Hauer's in Lady Hawk. Like, and mm-hmm. oh, it's fun. He's just one of those actors to me that he chose good scripts to.
Right.
I always felt he did, at least.
I recognize him from Merlin.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Yeah, that's right.
He's in a lot of movies.
Yeah, Rutger Hauer had a really good career.
When you see his face, you're like, I know I've seen him in so many things.
at the end, when it's all said and done, if I had a career even close to Rutger Hauer's, I'd have my head up. I'd be very proud of that career. Mm-hmm. I'd be very, very proud. Great actor. One more time, we want to wish Corey Gavinsky a very happy birthday.
Happy birthday, Corey.
Corey, also a good actor. I worked with her in a play. What was it? Two Brothers and Two Sisters? Something like that it was. She's a good actor, too.
Awesome.
I didn't mention that earlier, so I wanted to mention that now. And maybe Janet is, too. I'm not sure. Janet Meadow, our qualifier today. Happy birthday, Janet.
Congratulations, Janet.
Yeah, congrats. Encourage you guys to stick around for Melissa's News. Then head on over to Misty's Menu and treat yourself. They're open right now, 6 to 2, 7 days a week at 94.41 State Highway 13 South in Wisconsin Rapids. When you get there, thank the gang for us. Wish them a great day from all of us at WFHR. Welcome back, everybody. Mornings on WFHR, locally grown radio. Melissa, Beth, and James here with you. I wanted to let everybody know that Seth Habhager is going to be sitting in with us on Playmakers today.
Oh.
Seth and I will not be making eye contact. I will not be talking to Seth because he put this in the bumpers.
Ah.
I thought I had outrun this song. I really had. I thought I had got... It's going to be in there. It's going to be in my head all day now. My little sister loved that song, and my dad got her like a single or something like that, and would play it all the time. She just played all
over
the
and over
time.
And over.
Every
sisters
time.
Have a way of doing that, don't they? They do.
They really do.
Rob Bass, the Bodyguard.
It's so mad. Like the whole Dirty Dancing soundtrack.
Oh,
it gets stuck in my head because of those. It is National Pie Day today, as we've touched on a couple of times and everything, and which is a really all about, like, of course, apple pie and pumpkin pie and those kind of pies. But Pizza Hut wanted to get in on this.
Mm-hmm.
What about pizza pie, huh?
Pizza pie.
What about that one?
Yep.
Pizza Hut announced they just broke a world record last week for the biggest pizza ever.
What?
Just under 14,000 square feet. It's the equivalent of 68,000 slices.
Whoa! How did they bake it?
It's a great question.
With jet engines.
Yeah.
No, like, not actually jet engines, but it was like a movable oven that blew hot air over the dough to bake it.
So instead of like what you see in pizza shops where the pizza goes through the machine went over the pizza.
Bit by bit. Like, as they assembled it, then they'd bake a little bit, they'd put more, and they'd bake a little more. Yeah.
So I'm showing a little bit of
a video of it this
here.
Oh, my goodness.
To Beth. This is in Los Angeles, California, this takes place. I mean, it looks like they've got like a hangar that they took over to make this.
Right.
Okay, so this begs the question, because this is not in a pie shape. This is not in a circle.
Actually, it is.
Yeah,
when they were done, it is in a circle.
When they get done,
oh, really?
Yeah,
they made a circle out of all of those, because it's what I'm seeing being built is a whole bunch of the rectangle
squares,
pieces that they usually make.
Mm-hmm.
But that ends up in the shape of a circle and a pie. Okay.
How good did it smell in that hangar? Oh. I mean, how good would it smell in there, man?
It probably drove them nuts the whole time they were making it.
Oh, my goodness. Over 13,000 pounds of dough.
Yeah. That's crazy.
That's a lot of.
Let's That's a couple tons.
A lot of pizza.
Let's get into some of the stats of this. Yeah. So the pizza announces it. They assembled it on the floor of the Los Angeles Convention Center and used a bank of heaters to cook it from above.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It took about 48 hours from start to finish.
Wow.
It clocked in at 13,990 square feet. And here's what went into it. 13,653 pounds of dough, just under 5,000 pounds of sauce, around 8,800 pounds of cheese, and more than 6,300 slices of pepperoni. It wasn't actually a Pi Day thing. They did it to promote their big New Yorker pizza from the 90s, which they're bringing back on February 1st. Pizza Hut says that they made sure that 68,000 slices won't go to waste. They donated all the pizza to charities in L.A.
Okay, that was going to be my question.
Very cool.
They could have just invited all of the elementary schools in the area.
Yeah, that too. I feel like if I had been at this thing, I'd have been that guy that was like one of the last people to get a slice. I would have. Is this? So I have a couple of questions on this one. One, if you happen to be in LA when this is going on and everything, and say they were giving some of this out to people or something, would you try a slice of this? Would you eat a slice of this?
Yeah.
If I could eat it, yes.
Right, yes, I'm sorry.
I would.
Okay, then would you want to help make this? Because I think it'd be fun to make.
It would.
Okay.
That'd be fun.
I thought I was crazy for that. But no. I kind of think it'd be fun to kind of make something like this.
Well, you're also talking to two bakers, Seth.
Yeah.
Or, true, true.
I just called James.
You did. I heard it.
Does that mean I'm spending too much time here?
Yeah.
And it just made me feel so much better. That just made me feel so much better for every time I have done that to you guys. That's so good. Oh, I'm
gonna, Seth does not rhyme with James.
No, Seth and James do not rhyme at all. But this is the kind of argument I would probably be making with Seth.
I'm going to be
going to ride that wave for a while.
Probably. And I'm going to hear it both at home and here now.
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, definitely. Yeah.
That's okay. I'll do it next. So.
Is my face as red as it feels now?
In her defense, we do share a brain.
I
think we've asked a number of questions, and I'm still looking for a world record we can break here. Okay. As a radio station, as WFHR. I really want to do this. We're going to come across the perfect one for us. It's just a matter of time.
Mm-hmm.
But is there a food that you could make the biggest of that you would think of that you could? I think it'd be like. I know the challenge of this. I know the logistics and all the insanity of it. I don't even like it that much, but I do think it'd be kind of cool, like the world's biggest soup. Like nobody's ever tried to do that. Nobody's ever tried to make like the. We always try to make like physical things a little
right.
Like,
right.
Big.
You hear cakes and cookies. Yeah. And
let's
pizzas.
See somebody try to make the world's biggest soup. I guess you'd have to worry about people drowning it and things like that. So I suppose there are some like. But you could like you have like an abandoned like swimming pool or something like that, and you try to make it in there. I don't know. I'm literally thinking of these things right at the top of my head. I did not pre-think of it. Any of this stuff, so I probably should have. But if they're like the world's biggest muffin, I don't know. There's certain food. There's still some foods we haven't tried this with. I think.
All right. Mm-hmm. So you're thinking specifically foods.
I guess. But it doesn't have to be. Is there anything? Is there like? Is there something that pops in your head?
The world's biggest or most involved group hug.
Oh,
how many people could you get into a group hug?
I like that. I like that one. That's a good one. Yeah. That would be a real good feel-good story, too. That's a great idea.
Especially since we've been so, separated. Don't come near me.
Yeah.
Yes, yeah.
Keep your cough to yourself.
Yeah.
That actually, You know, now that you said both of those parts right there, that makes me think that if we were able to do something like that and pull it off, no matter if we broke a record or not, what a great way of kind of showing the pandemic, ha, we beat you. Yeah, this is a human achievement right here and everything. Also could be a super spreader event. I don't know. I don't know where I fall on that one. I love the idea, though. Even if it is not, say they tried this, it didn't break a record, it didn't even bring that much PR to the new New York Slice thing or whatever. Mm-hmm. They gave all that food to charities.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no loss here. Nobody lost any. I mean, because even the money that they put into this, you could make a very easy argument. Well, you spend that on advertising.
Right.
And look, we're talking about you. How many places are talking about pizza right now that would not be talking about it with otherwise? I think that's cool. I also think it's interesting how certain pizza places have stayed alive and some haven't in the last 10, 20 years. We've seen a couple of places go away while, like, and I'm not saying this in a, and I love Little Caesars. I'm a big fan of Little Caesars, but I don't know that a lot of people would consider them the upper echelon of pizza, you know, necessarily.
Right.
But they've survived just fine. Like, Little Caesars is doing okay. Every business would like to have more business.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as their business model goes, they're doing okay right now. Pizza Hut, Domino's, some of these other ones, I don't think that we're in danger of them going away, but their numbers have been hit hard.
Mm-hmm.
I find it interesting that certain ones have stayed and some that haven't.
Pizza's pretty popular.
It is.
Especially if it's a go-to. If it's one that, like, my mom and dad love trying different pizzas, but if they're going to order one, they go to the same place every time. They have my whole life, and the chances are they will the rest of their lives. It's your familiarity. It's the gas station. Right. You go to the gas station that's close to you. You're just used to it.
Mm-hmm. Well, and when you move from place to place, one of the perks that comes with the move, because moving is difficult, is that you get to try all of these different places.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's some consistency with your national brands,
like
your Domino's, your Pizza Huts, you know, Papa John's. You know what you're getting with those, but to find all of the local ones, and we've got some great local pizza shops here in town to figure out which one is my style, my taste, that kind of thing.
Yep. So the right sauce that you like.
Yeah.
Take a break. We'll come back and have some more fun here on the morning show at WFHR. Thanks a lot, Jennifer. Appreciate the updates. Welcome back, everybody, to the morning show here at WFHR. Beth, Melissa, and James here with you. Keep in mind, we're going to kick off the 9 o'clock hour with CBS News, and then we'll go right into the Kitchens Open.
All right.
Looking forward to that. And a little after that, we'll get into some entertainment news. That ain't right stories, good stories of the day, all coming up for you in the 9 o'clock hour. Right now, we do way too many stories that involve TikTok nowadays. not that that's necessarily a bad thing. I just feel like there's other stuff out there. But this one kind of pulled us in, especially with it being a Monday morning, and plenty of people probably had maybe a little bit too much over the weekend. So here is some helpful advice from TikTok to cure a hangover. Just dunk your face in ice water over and over again. And we're done. Okay.
Oh.
Like, in other news,
that just makes you uncomfortable.
Water is wet. Like, this of course, people have been doing this since the dawn of alcohol. Like, this is the oldest hangover cure in the history of hangover cures. People have been claiming it can instantly cure a hangover. So a doctor recently weighed in, and there's actually is some science behind it.
Really?
It activates something called the diver's reflex that can snap you out of a feeling like feeling horrible, because it tells your body to send more oxygen to your vital organs. It's also the same reflex that makes babies hold their breath underwater.
Interesting.
I remember this, thinking this when I was little with my youngest, and thinking, well, how do they know? Like, you can't teach a baby to close their nose and all this stuff in it, but yet they just know to do that.
Yeah.
Instincts, survival instincts, they're even in that age, which is just fascinating to me. Yeah. It's just kind of cool.
Body's natural reaction.
Yeah.
Well, if you think about it, you're swimming in liquid inside your mother's womb, so and you're not breathing yet.
Yeah.
So when you feel that sensation of being back in that, you're going to go back to what you know.
Mm-hmm.
Well said. Cure, quote unquote, might be too strong of a word, though.
Short-lived.
The same hack made the rounds a while back, and it sounds like the effect is very temporary, as Melissa said perfectly there. That's what experts say, at least, and that's what many people in these responses are saying. If you want to try it, just fill a bowl with ice water, dunk your entire face in it for 10 seconds, and repeat it 2 more times. Most people immediately say it worked, and they say, never mind.
It worked. I feel great. I don't feel great anymore.
Yeah. Better to dump it over your head and give the money to charity.
I like that. I also love the idea of somebody doing this, immediately recording a video, and as they're recording the video, be like, oh, wait, it's coming back. I actually, this is kind of how I start my day. Not with the ice, I wouldn't say this specifically, but I get the water running cold, and I get at least 1 or 2 splashes of water in my face. My eyes open, splashes of water to my face. It's just pretty much how I've started every day as long as I can remember.
Well, it's a great way to wake up.
Yeah.
You know, especially if you don't take a shower every morning. To be able to just wash your face.
I literally feel like it helps me start over. Like it's a like it, I don't know how to really word it, but
baptism?
It's maybe that's hilarious considering it's me and I've never been baptized. For me, it's such a clearing of the slate. Mm-hmm. Like it's just a clean slate, and you go right from there.
Yeah, freshening.
But I don't like it has not like as far as if I have a hangover or something because I wake up. I would say out of 7 days a week, 5 to 6 with a migraine is how I wake up. So it's not I wouldn't say, obviously, it's not a hangover, but they're pretty similar. They live in similar neighborhoods, migraines and hangovers and that. And this helps a little bit. Doesn't usually like all immediately, my head's clear now. I don't have razor blades in my ears or anything, but it helps a little bit. I think that that's a good one, actually.
Yeah.
I mean, so many of these often involve doing something that has a side effect.
Mm-hmm.
There's no real true side effect of this one other than you're going to be cold for a couple of seconds, and that can be a rough way to wake up sometimes. I have this is certainly a serious topic to many out there, but immediately I think of something else. And there's not necessarily a connection here, but I feel like there is. When you get out of the shower, the bathroom being cold. That should not happen.
No, it should not.
That should not be a thing. Like, in any society, like, what are we doing as a society when we're letting people get out of the shower and it's cold? That should not happen.
No, I mean, especially if you took a hot shower.
Yes, right. Yes. But this still happens to me sometimes, and it infuriates me. I don't know what to do about it. I don't know how you fix it, but get on it, science.
Shut the bathroom door and stay in the shower at least 10 minutes.
I feel like I do this. Running.
Well, the fan is just going to take the humidity out of the air, but it's not going to take the warmth away.
Okay.
Also feel like putting on some more weight would probably help me in that department. Might actually help me a little bit.
Or maybe you should drink coffee before you get in the shower.
I can do that. I can drink coffee in the shower.
Dry off while you're in the shower so that when you actually get
open
out.
Open the shower door, yeah.
Uh-oh. We broke James.
I'm not just thinking of having my coffee. I'm thinking of making it in the shower.
Oh, God.
You got the grinder and everything. Since we're talking alcohol, let's get to a That Ain't Right story here involving alcohol. If you've been, been sucking down or into those fireballs, or you really like your heart handle, you like this, but you might like that type of booze, the fireball booze or the mini bottles. Mm-hmm. You may be interested by this one. The makers of Fireball Whiskey are being sued because some of their mini bottles don't actually contain whiskey.
What?
Anything you buy at a liquor store probably does, but in states where gas stations and grocery stores can't sell liquor, they've also been selling another version to get around the laws. They lowered the alcohol content and changed the label. They look just like normal mini bottles, but instead of Fireball Cinnamon Whiskey, the label says Fireball Cinnamon, and they only cost around $1. The lawsuit claims that they didn't make it clear that it's not the real stuff. Now, let me, real quick, before I continue with the article, just show you guys a picture of we're talking about here. Oh, my goodness.
They're identical.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
One says cinnamon, one says cinnamon whiskey.
Yeah. So, I mean, marketing-wise, I guess I see what they're trying to do there, and I also can see where there'd be a complaint here.
Mm-hmm.
I just, maybe it's just me and the way I am about buying things. I can't think of anything I've ever purchased and like just grab it and throw it up there. Like if it's an item I'm not familiar with.
Right, but if it's an item you are familiar with and you reckon, I mean, that label,
right.
The Fireball Whiskey is a very recognizable label.
Mm-hmm.
So would you actually look to see if it said just cinnamon or cinnamon whiskey?
That's a good question.
Right.
Yeah. They look just like normal mini bottles, but instead Fireball Cinnamon Whiskey and then the Fire of Cinnamon. Normal Fireball is 66 proof or 33% alcohol. The gas station version is a malt beverage with whiskey flavoring that's only about 33 proof or 16.5 alcohol. The label says malt beverage with natural whiskey and other flavors. The lawsuit claims it's not clear what they mean by those other flavors.
Mm.
They put other flavors on, like, everything that's got some kind of, you know, not artificial or, you know, not normal flavor in it.
It's
frustrating.
If they win, anyone who bought the mini bottles in 12 states could get money. That is Illinois, North Dakota, Wyoming, Idaho, Alaska, Iowa, Mississippi, Arkansas, Kansas, Arizona, South Carolina, and Utah. So this could be a big one if this one does go through. To show there was, I don't know. We'll see where this one goes. But I don't think we have suing as an option for a reason. But I fear that we more times than not have stories like this when it comes to suing somebody. Right. The only time you hear about suing is involved with things like this.
Well, and my question is, who is this? Is it really harming?
Yeah.
Like, what's the point of suing over this?
Yeah.
Just to get money.
Mm-hmm.
Just to nail them on a technicality and say, well, you sold me something that I thought was whiskey and it wasn't.
I feel like suing should be the last resort. It should be a resort used for holding people accountable to laws and things like that. It sucks. Maybe it ruined your afternoon or something like that. It's not a life changing. Like, your life wasn't ruined from this or anything like that. I'm with you, Melissa.
It's frivolous.
It is. I really quickly did want to mention, we'll talk more about this next hour, but Civic Media is a $1 million advertising giveaway is going on right now. In fact, you have less than 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. You have less than 3 days to wait, everybody. Woo-hoo! 2 days, 23 hours, and 59 minutes to wait for this great challenge. We cannot wait to get a part of it.
Yeah.
This time, in a couple days, you're going to be able to log on to civicmedia.us/million and sign up for this awesome ad giveaway.
And when you do, make sure that you mention WFHR and The Morning Show, because we want bragging rights.
Yeah, Take advantage of this once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to work with our fast-growing media companies in Wisconsin and get a radio advertising campaign to promote your business for free. Thursday, January 26th, be here at 9 a.m. Get to civicmedia.us/million and enter that information.
And this is for everyone, current, new, old. We want all of you to advertise with us.
civicmedia.us/millions. We'll come back and have some more fun here on The Morning Show at WFHR.